This is the award-winning Speak Your Peace with Darren Dudrick on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM KODI, and 1140 AM KZMQ.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Darren Dudrick. If you have a comment or question, you may call us at 587-1400 or 1-866-833-4400. Speak Your Peace is brought to you by First Bank of Wyoming, your home lending partner in town. Once again, the phone number is 587-1400 or 1-866-833-4400. When calling, we ask callers to please tell us your first and last name, and we limit callers to one call per show. Today's guest on Speak Your Peace, and we welcome him back after the election kind of threw everything off, but James Klassen is Ford Cody CEO and president. James, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. You know, I think it was May the last time I was here. I think I said something like it'll be a cold day before I come back. Well,
and you called it.
Here we
you
are.
You nailed it. Here we are. Cold day, and James is back. Well, it's good to have you because I know there's a lot to talk about. So much has happened since we last talked on this program, James. You know, I want to start things off because, you know, we've talked so much about it in the past is Cody Labs, and I know that, and people should understand, and I hope everybody does, that you have absolutely zero control or know any, you know, really as much as we do what's going on. Mm-hmm. But some of the rumors that I've heard, and I mentioned to you this a little bit before we started, about regarding Cody Labs. Of course, everybody knows that the project on 2AB stalled, but I've heard it had to do with the impact of the opioid crisis, that they'll eventually resume their work there. I've also heard Cody Labs is going to leave Cody completely. I've also heard maybe a different pharmaceutical company coming to Cody. What have you heard? What do you know? What can you tell us? If there's anything you can, shed light on anything.
You know, I think your first statement was correct, is that I know about as much about it as anybody else. I can read the stock market reports. Their stock is absolutely catastrophically low right now. That frightens me a little bit because then that starts talking about the financial viability of the company as a whole. They've just made some interesting management decisions over the last 6 months. One thing that we haven't talked about is one of their biggest problems is that a customer that they had was basically 47% of their revenue stepped away from them.
Oh.
As of March 19th of next year, they won't be a customer any longer. And that's going to be difficult for the company to deal with that. So I know that there's some things over the course of the summer that have really caused some challenges by the current management. I talk occasionally with the folks out at the main plant here. You know, they felt pretty okay about the layoffs. They didn't like it, obviously. They liked where we were heading. But they recognized that. Those that left the company, I know several of them, received fairly generous severance packages. And so there's not a lot of ill will. It was a little troubling, I think, for some people that were in the facility that didn't know whether they stayed or whether they were going to go. That uncertainty is a tough thing to deal with. But I think by and large, the people that are remaining, then there's 80 plus employees still in the facility, so it's still a significant employer in our community. You know, they're doing what they've been doing all along, and they just keep forging ahead, regardless of what's going back in Philadelphia. So as far as rumors about them leaving, I haven't heard that one yet. That's a new one on me today. and all I can say is, could be.
Yeah, you didn't know.
With some
sure.
of the frenetic decisions that have been made in the last year, that could be. But I wouldn't substantiate that, and I can't imagine that they would do so. Is it on the market and for sale? Yeah, I do know that it is. They would part with this portion of their company if they had the opportunity and the right type of thing came along, but I don't have the inside knowledge to be able to deal with that.
When you say they're on the market, is that the facility on 2AB or is that the Cody Labs in general?
Cody Labs in general.
In general,
yeah. I do know that there's been. Let me tell you this: there's a bright lining or silver lining in every cloud, right? Had I known that building an 18,000 square foot 85-foot tall building with three floors on 2AB would have attracted as much interest in doing business development in Cody, I'd have built one in 2008. Because I've had well over a dozen calls from people wanting me to help them acquire that facility.
Really?
Cheap, really cheap, you know, like dirt cheap. And you know, set up their operation there, manufacturing, all kinds of things. And the fun part about it is that I'm in conversations with them still, because we've got real estate in the community, not only in North Cody, but in other places that's zoned industrial, zoned light manufacturing or D3. And so I've got, I think, six different proposals out sitting with different companies around the country and some local that are willing to do some expansion work over there. So, heck, maybe that's what it took.
Who would ever thought, huh?
I would have never dreamed it, but maybe I should have thought about it a little bit. But I'm not a big fan of speculative buildings, sure, because they cost money to not only build but to maintain. So
I know the business you're in. You win some, you lose some. It's one of those things. You're not in control of what decisions companies make. So from your perspective, James, Forward Cody's perspective, I mean, how do you deal with something like this when there's so much effort's been put into Cody Labs? And, of course, there's the misconceptions out there of how much involvement Forward Cody's involved with Cody Labs. Some people think that you guys are a big part of this thing when you're really not. I mean, you were, but you're not. But, I mean, how do you guys deal with that stuff?
Yeah, so there's a couple things that the public really needs to understand. Is first, Forward Cody owns the warehouse facility, which is the building on the west side of that project.
Okay.
We own that. We lease it. We get a rent payment every month from the Cody Laboratories or Lynette Company. They're actively using that facility. There's a separation in the wall where there's a door that goes into the new facility, but that's the only connection that we have. And so if I have to brick up that wall someday, I've got a 12,000 square foot, very tall building, which is instantly marketable if something happens and they do leave the community. But right now I have a 20-year fixed lease. In other words, if they decide they want to cease the lease, then you need to write us a check for, that's $100,000+ a year for the remainder of the term, 17 years. So we're fairly secure in the fact that they're not going to just be able to walk without some consequence. And they have to pay out the lease, and that doesn't mean they have no rights to ownership or anything associated with that, because what they promised us they would do as part of that warehouse project was create the jobs. They have not successfully completed that part of it. So the community's secure in the fact that we have an asset, that we have state grant funds in. We have a little bit of financing out against that. But we have a fixed-term lease that has to be paid if they ever decide to cease operations here. So we're well protected, and right now they're using the facility. They pay the rent on time. They take very good care of the building, so our asset is literally protected. The facility beside that, where they've spent about $20 million in the development of that new big building, the tall building, and all the infrastructure to support that, that was 100% completed with Lynette Capital, the state grant loan that we had worked so hard to get put together.
Sure.
It was approved, the paperwork is in place, and really what they needed to do is sit down and execute the loan with the treasurer. They have never done that. There is not a penny of state money in that particular project.
Oh, okay.
So if something fails there, the state's not out anything on that particular project.
That's good to know, because I know a lot of people probably wondered about that.
I hear that every day, somebody saying, we lost all this state money, and I've been called a lot of things.
But you're probably used to that with stuff you've done in the past. I mean, this,
it's the nature of the beast.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And the problem is I have to always gauge it based upon their source of information. And the bad news is that it's misinformation.
Most people are misinformed.
And so I'll repeat again to the public. There is no state money in this new part of the development of the campus project. None. And so anything that they would lose out there would be a loss to the Lynette Company and not to the state of Wyoming. We're well secured with the warehouse side of it, and so we're fine. Our relationship with Cody Labs is as strong as it's ever been. We're not doing much with them because they're not advancing the cause, and so they haven't had a lot of need for workforce assistance. They haven't had a lot of need for infrastructure assistance, and so we've stayed pretty quiet there, other than I check in every once in a while just to see what we can do to help.
I want to jump to something else, but real fast, one more thing. You personally, what's happened with Cody Labs? What's been your thoughts about this whole thing? It's got to be extremely frustrating. But I mean, you like you said, this is just the nature of the beast. These things happen. This I'm sure has happened before somewhere down the road with what you do. I mean, what happens when something like this? How do you deal with something like this? This has got to be tough. I mean, does it motivate you to?
Yeah, one of the condemnations towards me as a person that was leveled not long ago by somebody is that. This is the same thing as your hardened prison boondoggle. Okay, that's what they said.
Seriously.
And it's like I have the, I'm omnipotent and I can control everything. Well, guess what? I can't. The thing in Hardin, first of all, they did never start that. The state of Montana actually did. I just carried the project out, got it completed, and the state had changed their tone. They didn't want to deal with it anymore. So I don't know. I guess I'm at fault for. Stepping in the middle and getting it done like it was supposed to be done. The same thing's true here. What I've done here is facilitated a process to advance a project in our community. Why Lynette changed their mind about the vertical integration of their product line, whether it was the opioid crisis, whether they were just saddled with way too much debt because of their purchase of this Kramer's Urban in Indiana. I don't know what caused them to make the decision, because guess what? I don't get to sit in those meetings, and I don't get to vote on those things either. So we do the best we can. We take the risks and the chances that we can. I made this comment to somebody just the other day. I said, you know, I've got 20 people on my board of directors who are all well-respected businessmen, bankers, real estate, insurance, people who are entrepreneurial as can be. They're the ones that say to me, James, go get this done. Go make this happen. We sit in meeting after meeting, more meetings than most people in this community would ever realize in the course of trying to develop projects like Cody Labs or Gunworks or Revolution Technology or all of those. It isn't just me making the decision to do so. It's my whole organization, and it's all wrapped around a plan that we've been trying to execute for a decade. Okay? We take that then, that project, and we take it to the Wyoming Business Council, who funds the things that we do. And we have 18 people that sit on that board that all raise their hand and say, wow, good job. We like what you're doing. This makes sense. And then one more vetting of it. We go to the five elected officials, the top five elected officials in the state, who look at the project. They review it. They ask lots of questions. And they provide approval as well. So when I have people saying, you know, you're the stupid guy at the center, well, maybe I am the stupid guy at the center. And I don't believe for a minute that that's not true. I'm not the smartest guy around, but I know how to get stuff done, and I do that. But I don't ever do it in a vacuum. I did an example for the Park County leadership crew here a few years ago, where I used the Cody Labs large loan fund as an example, and because somebody said, "Man, that's a great success for you," and I said, "What do you mean for me? It's nothing to do with me. I'm paid very well to make that kind of stuff happen." And so I started this little deal of saying, well, it started with Bernhardt and Ryan over at Cody Labs, and how do we get this done? And then I had a meeting with Sam Crone and Hank Coe and Dave Northrup, and I started adding all the people that we brought into the mix until the governor finally signed Senate File 97 in 2014 in the spring. And we had over 800 people had been impacted, touched, reached out to, conversed with in order to make it happen. And so the explanation of this is I never take it personal because I'm just working at the bequest of other people. They're the ones that are saying, go get this done. I just happen to have a skill set that allows me to be able to get these things done.
So I think what happens is when the air is let out of the balloon, in the case of Cody Labs, that people are like, oh, no. People, the naysayers like to have a face, somebody they can go to and blame.
And that's my job.
I get paid
very well to take crap from people.
But what the problem is, though, and you mentioned this, is they think you're part of that voting board that says, okay, you know, we're going to do this, or we're going to do that, and you have nothing to do with that.
I can guarantee you back in Philadelphia, if I was part of that voting board, there would have been one adamant dissenter to all of the things they've done this year.
What's the mood of the board? The Forward Cody board. What do they think about this whole Cody Labs thing? They must be as disappointed as anybody.
Yeah, they're disappointed because we've invested a lot of time and money. We've put a lot of organizational risk, credibility, and everything else on the line for this. But what I can tell you is that it's my belief that it's not over. One of the problems that happens in situations like this where these folks are scrambling to try to figure out their path, you know, it's like standing in a swarm of bees and trying to grab one. You know, you just don't know which one you're going to get. And, you know, grab a hold of. And, you know, they've got to focus on first things first. And the first thing they've got to focus on is they better start stabilizing their revenue streams. They've got $853 million in debt. They've got stock prices that are really, really low, catastrophically low. I should probably go talk to my broker and buy some stock because I have faith that this thing's going to come back. I'm concerned, but I'm not fearful.
Well, we should reiterate something you pointed out a little while ago, that people are interested in maybe getting that building out there. So, I mean, if something doesn't pan out with Cody Labs, so be it. You just move on to the next project. Possibly.
Well, Lynette has an asset to part with, and they can use that as a tool. But I think it'd be crazy for them to part with that particular facility and not include it as part of the infrastructure of Cody Laboratories. Everybody sees that as a Walmart building.
Yeah.
That's because they haven't been in there. And most people don't get the opportunity to go in there. But what I can tell you, it is a pharmaceutical manufacturing facility that is parallel with every other one on the planet. It is absolutely a stellar asset for our community, and there's well over $150 million have been invested in 601 Yellowstone Avenue in Cody, Wyoming. $150 million.
Wow.
And that's not anybody's money but Lynette's.
We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk about Gunworks on the other side of this whole negative stuff. We got some positive things happening in Cody. If you'd like to join the conversation today with James Klessens of Forward Cody, give us a call, 587-1400. We'll be back with more Speaker Peace right after these messages.
The views and or opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily the views and or opinions of this station or its advertisers.
Pain should not be a way of life. This is Linda Brown. Last week, I heard someone say, "Oh, I've tried physical therapy." It occurred to me that I've never heard someone say, "Oh, I've tried going to the doctor." Your therapy experience may vary, dependent on your physical therapist's interests, clinical approach, or specialized training. You have a choice in your healthcare decisions. Come see why our patients refer their family and friends to Advantage Rehab Physical Therapy. In Cody, 587-9866 or Powell, 754-2019.
LVT flooring is widely popular, and you can get the look of real hardwood, ceramic, or stone in a durable luxury tile. This is Kim Scheid, flooring manager at Haskell Furniture and Flooring, and we have an incredible selection of LVT. Its waterproof qualities make it ideal for high moisture areas like bathrooms, basements, and mudrooms. An incredible flooring selection for any room in your home. Haskell Furniture and Flooring. Visit us in Cody, Lovell, or at our expanded flooring showroom in Worland.
We're making memories in Monster Lake Ranch. This is Chef DeWitt inviting you to dinner Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. The weather is cooling off, and where I come from, that means it's gumbo and oyster season. Come out and try a bowl of my award-winning gumbo and experience some of my oyster specials. They'll be going on from now until Christmas. We also have our signature steaks, shrimp and grits, and of course, bread pudding on a nightly basis. Monster Lake Ranch, just 10 minutes south of Cody, 587-5960.
The Bighorn Co-op has locations in Riverton, Worland, Basin, Powell, Grable, and Buffalo to help you travel around our area. They've got everything a convenience store needs and so, so much more. From new tires and the guys to put them on to animal feeds and pet supplies. You can pick up supplies to fix your furnace or your plumbing. Fill your vehicle with gas and fill your tummy with treats. Stop by and see what the Bighorn Co-op has to make your day easier. The Bighorn Co-op in Grable, Basin, Worland, Riverton, Powell, and Buffalo.
Hi, I'm Paul Fees, and I'm asking you to elect me to be your representative for House District 24. For decades, we've talked about making Wyoming a place where our children could find good jobs and have fulfilling careers. And for decades, we've stuck to our boom-bust coal-oil dependency. It's time to fund innovation for a change. Instead of burning carbon, let's make something of it.
Paid for by the campaign friends of Paul Fees.
You've been waiting for the perfect time to purchase a new camper at the best price. Well, opportunity is knocking right now at Wyoming's largest RV dealership with the largest inventory sell down you will see. Opportunity is knocking at Midway RV for you to purchase a new camper at the absolute lowest price in the West, guaranteed. Opportunity is knocking at Midway RV for you to purchase a new camper with door-to-door delivery. Opportunity is knocking at Midway RV for you to purchase a new camper with excellent financing terms. Opportunity is knocking at MidwayCampers.com.
No one understands the threats facing America more than the National Border Patrol Council that represents U.S. Border Patrol agents.
Here on our border, we need leaders in Washington to help us protect America.
In Montana's U.S. Senate race, the National Border Patrol Council strongly endorses John Tester.
John Tester's working to protect our border every day, opposing safe havens for criminals and gangs like sanctuary cities.
When politics in Washington threatened to cut back on agents on the border, John Tester went to work across the aisle.
Got us the manpower and technology we need to secure our border.
John's working on a bipartisan plan to fix our broken immigration system with a tough but fair process for those who work hard, pay taxes, and learn English.
We endorse President Trump, and now we're endorsing John Tester.
To protect Montana and America,
John Tester for U.S. Senate.
I'm John Tester, and I approve this message because I won't take a backseat to anyone when it comes to protecting America.
Paid for by Montanans for Tester.
We are back on Speak Your Peace. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Darren Dudrick. Today I'm visiting with James Klessens of Forward Cody. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 587-1400. I want to jump to Gunworks and all the good things that are happening with that that firm. I mean, recently, with SLIB recently approved the expansion project, right? Is that?
Yeah. You know, one of the things I'd like to do is clarify a comment you made at the end about the negative part of it. Yes, this is a kind of a doom and gloom type of a story with Cody Labs.
Sure.
But what I'm going to tell you is the story's not over yet. Something will happen. Something will change. They did not spend the money that they spent here for naught. I think something will occur, and I don't know whether that's an acquisition. I don't know whether that's maybe we figure out that this opiate crisis isn't all that it was put up to be. It isn't the manufacturers aren't the people at fault. And maybe that's the news, but things happen for a reason, and I don't know what the reason for this is. But I can tell you that I'm a person that has a lot of faith, and I have faith that at some point in time we're going to see some amazing stuff happen there.
Well, that's good to know.
That's where it's at. So Gunworks, has been another one of those marathon type projects. We've been working with those folks for. I met Aaron Davidson in 2008 when I first came here. First month I was here, we had our very first meeting. And so I've always had an interest in what he's doing because most people look at Gunworks and Best of the West and Wyoming Arms. Wyoming Armory is gun manufacturers. So they take a block of metal and they grind it down and finally machine it, and they turn it into a firearm. So you jack a shell in the chamber, and you pull the trigger, and it shoots. Well, that's a very simplistic version of what these people do. Gunworks makes an outstanding firearm. It's probably one of the best, qualitatively speaking, on the market. But what's really important about that company, and I've repeated this over and over, is that the core to their whole company is the technology behind it, because they don't just build a firearm that happens to shoot fairly well. They build a firearm that what they say is it's able to shoot 1,000 yards right out of the box. That's almost unfathomable. I cannot shoot that far with any firearm I have in my house, and nor would I try. So what I got back to when I started really researching why they were doing what they were doing, and it all lands on a little video that's on their website. It's a YouTube video that Aaron did years ago. And he told a story about why he is doing what he was doing. And in college, he had a business class, and he was writing a paper on a project that he wanted to do. And he wanted to build a ballistics calculator that would very precisely calculate out the amount of powder, the type of bullet, the grain of the bullet, the foot per second as it leaves the barrel, the twist on the barrel. All of these things could be incorporated into something that would very accurately and precisely ensure that you were making the best possible shot. His instructor said, that's a dumb idea. If you miss, you just raise a little higher and shoot again. Well, I don't know about you. I don't know if you're a hunter or not, Darren, but you know, when you start taking pot shots like that, all you're doing is asking for trouble. And when you're shooting at a live animal, that's really asking for trouble. That is the most unethical thing that you could possibly do. But what they described in that particular video, and anybody that wants to go to Gunworks website can do so, they talked about this passion that they developed to create the perfect shot. Now, that might be shooting a styrofoam cup at 1,000 yards, or it might be shooting an elk or a bighorn sheep. You know, and I'm not going to get into conversations about fair chase because I don't get to be the judge and jury for who does what. I just know there is a significant market of people out there that like to shoot long, long range, and that's 800, 1,000, 1,200 yards. Good for them. I'm glad that they do so. But what they have been able to do by linking what he knows about ballistics and ballistic coefficients, what he knows about ammunition, powders, the velocity leaving the barrel, and what he really knows about optics is transformational in the industry. The guns that they make are absolutely sterile, stellar. The people that I talk to that use them can't say enough about them. So I'm not going to question whether the product is has a market. I know they've sold in excess of $10 million worth of guns the last several years, and most of them have been built right down the street from here. That's a pretty amazing thing for Cody, Wyoming, to have a company with 44 employees cranking out that quality of a high-end value-added product. But the other part of it is the technology piece that incorporates the optics. They work with a company to acquire a scope, and then they do modifications to that scope that allow them to do ballistics calculations and the reticle adjustments and all kinds of things that I don't understand at all, Darren. I really don't get it at all.
I was going to ask you.
Because it's not my business, right? My business is to help get them what they need to do to grow and advance their business in the marketplace.
Sure.
And so what I have seen these people do is lead the industry in that particular line of optics and that particular system of long-range shooting. So when they came to me, boy, 2015, and said, we'd like to lease your building out here on Lieutenant Childers Street, I said, certainly. We had a guy that was in it that was leaving. It worked perfectly. And so in February of 2016, they occupied the facility. And they've been paying rent to us for, I guess, three years now. Utilizing that facility to grow and expand. I know we've had to do a lot of things like increase the amount of power. We put in a pretty significant air conditioning system because they've got so much going on in there. We had to keep the place cooled down. And you know, they've exceeded their plans. They told us when they moved in 2016 they were going to add 13 positions. They added 26. So they're up to 44 people. They've got people posted all over the place. They've got some of them in the Marathon building. They've got some down on 16th Street. And what we've talked about and we structured as a project over the last basically 12 months is the creation of a facility of around 40,000 square feet that will accommodate all of their needs for manufacturing, for warehousing and distribution, for office space, and even a little portion of it as a retail component. We gave them an opportunity to look at about, 20 different places around the community. Excuse me. And they independently picked a site and said, here's where we want to do it. It's right on the brink of the hill as you drop off Blackburn Street.
Behind Bighorn Cinemas.
Behind Bighorn Cinemas, okay. Yeah. Baker Hughes has got a big facility there. It's kind of a nice little spot. They look across the valley, look at Heart Mountain. It's looking the wrong way in my perspective. I kind of prefer Carter Mountain, but that's a whole other topic. Long story short, we've put a plan together to build this 40,000 square foot facility, fit it out to accommodate their needs for today and for the future. What they've did is made the commitment to create another 66 positions over the next 5 years. They're going to put about $5 million into equipment to outfit the facility. They're not only going to build barrels, but they're going to be doing more work with building their own stocks. You know, so when you buy a Gunworks gun, I think they outsource the barrel. Everything else is made in the facility here. And that's a pretty incredible thing. They've got some people over here that are as good at doing the machining of parts, firearms parts, as anybody in the business.
How does that, the size of building they're currently at, James, compare to the new one? How much bigger is the new one compared
they're
to the
They're in 12,000 square feet now, so it's just, wow. It's a little shy of four times as much.
Okay. That's huge. Three okay. and a half. Good for them.
Well,
that's
but I guess I have to say this. They're in 12,000 square feet now, and they're in about 3,000 in the Marathon building, and just a couple thousand down on 16th, and so they've warehousing some stuff in Burlington. So when you add it up, they're probably in 20. So this will probably double it.
So SLIB gave it the project its blessing. when is the work? Is there any kind of timeline set up to start work down there by the on into Blackburn?
Yes. A lot of it's going to be contingent on the amount of time it takes to put an architectural and design team together. We've had an RFQ out for a couple of weeks on that. Those are due tomorrow. And so what we did is we just made it known that, to the design community we were doing this. I've got, I think, three or four proposals that will come in tomorrow. At least that's what I hear. We're going to start looking at what is the most efficient or effective way to get this done. Obviously, weather is a big problem at this time of the year, and so we know we can have it fully designed and bid out and start in March. We know we can do that, and we also know that between March and December, when the planned move-in date, we can realistically expect that we can get that building done. So we know we're okay with it, but I'm not one that likes to take a lot of risk in that regard. So if we can go onto the site sometime this early winter, and maybe get some footers poured, or maybe dig in some of the water or sewer or whatever it happens to be, I just as soon get started. Our first step is we need to put our team together, and sit down and have a little meeting to talk about what we anticipate getting done. You always start with your December 1, 2019 date, and then you start backing up how long it's going to take to get all of those things done.
So sometime in the summer, maybe we could. The thing might be.
I'd say by fall, certainly by this date next year, we're going to be doing the final pieces. I'd like to by November 1st. I'd like to have a punch list of the little bitty things that we have to do, but actually have Gunworks moving equipment by November 1st of next year.
So within 5 years, they'll have how many employees total? Would that be add on what they have now?
102, 104, something on that order. They'll have over 100 employees.
No, I have to ask you, because
110, I think was the number.
I can't confirm this, James, and maybe you know more better than I do, but I've heard from a couple people that Ruger, gun manufacturer Ruger, recently laid off 50 employees. Remington is facing bankruptcy, another gun manufacturer. If those reports are true, how does that impact Gunworks, something like when you hear Ruger and Remington having some struggles? Or is that something that's typical of gun manufacturing companies that happens every now and then? Or
look at Winchester. They were the preeminent firearms manufacturer in the country. Olin Winchester, they made some tragic mistakes in their firearm manufacture. One of the things that happens in industry that I've observed in 30 years of watching it, maybe it's just an accident that I've seen this, but many times a company like Ruger, who was run by a gentleman named Bill Ruger Sr. and then by Bill Ruger Jr., these people were gun aficionados. They loved firearms. Bill Ruger Sr. said that he wanted to build a firearm that other gun company owners would want to own.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he wanted it to be that good, and you know what? He did it. He did it in spades. The guy made a stellar firearm. The problem is that as time goes on, and especially with companies that are publicly traded, they start trying to appease the bottom line, net income, EBITDA, and all those funny little accounting terms. And what ends up happening is they start bringing in managers who are more focused on balance sheets, profit and loss statements, and not on the product itself. And so if you can buy a certain grade of stainless steel for one price and you can get by with a cheaper version of that same stainless, you make that decision as a financial person, not as an aficionado of a firearm.
Sure.
And so you cheapen your product. Maybe the grade of wood that you use for the stocks is less. And so some of the finishes that you do, you take shortcuts. And all of a sudden, the product that you used to make that was absolutely the top of the line in the market becomes more of a middle of the line in the market. And it's hard to maintain market share with a audience that really pays attention to quality. Because, you know, when you buy a firearm, you're not buying something that in 5 years you throw it away and get another one. You buy it forever. I mean, I hunt today with a firearm that I bought 41 years ago as a junior in high school. Okay?
Maybe time for a new weapon there.
You want to know what one of the biggest conversations of my three boys is? They all want to know who gets that when I'm gone.
Hey, well,
so when you're buying buying a firearm, you're buying it for the quality, you're buying it for the heritage, you're buying it for your legacy. And that's the way that many, many gun people look at firearms. It's not a expense, it's an investment.
So these talked about problems with Ruger and Remington, bankruptcy, layoffs. You really can't. It's hard to draw that direct line to something like this happening, God forbid, at Gunworks down the road.
But I can tell you, I don't know what happened with Ruger. Remington's done all kinds of wonderful things, but we won't go into any of those. But here's the point: is that if all of a sudden somebody that's not really into the passion of the firearm itself says, you know, we can make those triggers in Japan or China or Indonesia a whole lot cheaper. You know, we can make them for 37 cents instead of $1.43. They're going to make that decision. And so they'll bring in a part that maybe isn't as precisely machined and maybe doesn't fit quite as well. Because, you know, there's gentlemen in this community that will buy a off-the-shelf firearm and they'll spend a week working on a gun that's already been assembled and already put together, doing the fit and finish and making sure that it is absolutely precise. And if you shoot like a pistols is a good example, and you pull back on a revolver, if you pull back the hammer and you buy one off the shelf and you can feel a little bit of a catch there, you can, if you do it often, you can feel the difference. I mean, you get a guy like John Linebaugh or Tony Bork or Randy Selby, these people who are masters at the trade, they can tune up a firearm so that it is just as absolute smooth as silk. And that's what they do. That's what they do. They build these absolutely stellar firearms. And so we're not building something that you're going to sell at the local super big box retailer. We're building something that is a special item to a very special customer. I think sometimes our big companies lose focus on who their ultimate customer and customer satisfaction is, and that's all about bottom line profitability. And that's a shame. It's a shame for companies like Remington, Winchester. I mean, Winchester rifle is a very run-of-the-mill thing right now. And it's unfortunate because I love them. You know, the Model 70 that I have, I would buy every one that I could ever get my hands on and afford because they were an absolute stellar firearm.
Well, the number you gave me earlier is how the production of Gunworks has gone up. It just says, I think, to me, it says a mouthful.
It's a very specific niche market. But one of the things that Aaron will say, Michael Labazo, who's their chief legal counsel, will say, and he said it to the SLIB board the other day, we are always innovating and we're always creating. So, yeah, maybe that market might shift a little bit. The long-range shooting might not be the thing. They're looking always at what's the next thing and how do we be at the head of the market instead of lagging along.
Let's go to the phone line. Caller, please state your first and last name.
Morning, gentlemen. Glenn Schultz.
Hi, Glenn.
Hey, James, one of the last times I talked to you, it's probably been some time ago, I asked you about patent attorneys in the area.
Yeah.
Is there any update on availability of reliable and reputable patent attorneys in the area?
Wow, that's a whole lot of words in one sentence, and I'm not sure I can tie them all together,
well,
Glenn.
A name or two of a couple of patent attorneys.
There's a new one down in Cheyenne, and I don't recall his name. He's been working with the Technology Innovation Center at the university. Obviously, there's a whole slew of them in that Boulder, Denver area, Colorado. We've used Tony Tees, who's a pretty good patent attorney out of Billings. And I think I'd given you her information once before.
I don't recall that. Is that you said her? Is that
Tony Tees, TONITEASE. We've actually had her come and talk patents and patenting process to our business boot camp programs in the past. And I've used her before when I was part of the Montana Business Incubator Program at Eastern Montana, Montana State University, Billings.
Oh, good. Well, that's good. Billings, I think, is a lot closer than Denver and Cheyenne. But I've got a couple of things going. In fact, I'm looking at one on my desk here now in the office. But I've got it got my machine shop set up so I can build prototypes and that sort of thing. Got a lathe
I got to come visit you.
Yes, I would appreciate that. You're always welcome. I extended that invitation a long time ago. But
you know what somebody needs to build me is a clock with a few more hours on it.
I'm sorry?
I said I need a clock with a few more hours on it.
I hear you. We've got other projects going here that are not, you know, patentable, but I'm always doing something. But anyway,
yeah.
Got a couple here that need to get out. Yep. Okay. Well, Jim.
I'll send you an email with Tony's contact information.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
If I can find the name of the person at University of Wyoming or at Laramie, I will certainly do so.
Okay, and give me a call anytime.
Perfect. Yeah, we should meet sometime.
Okay, I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Glenn.
Thanks, Lynn. We're going to take a quick break on Speaker Peace. If you'd like to join the conversation today with James Klessens of Forward Cody, give us a call, 587-1400. We'll be back with more Speaker Peace right after these messages.
Whether you're traveling for business or leaving for fun, your flight is just minutes from home at Yellowstone Regional Airport. There's two flights daily to and from Denver, Colorado. So you can spend more of your trip doing business or having fun. And less on driving or waiting in traffic, filling the car with gas, and so on. So enjoy shorter lines, complimentary Wi-Fi, and free parking. Just minutes from home at Yellowstone Regional Airport. FlyYRA.com.
It's a special time of year for expressing gratitude. This is Allison Tipton from Canyon Therapy, and we're thankful for our wonderful patients who trust us to help them return to work and recreation following an injury or surgery. We appreciate the referrals we receive from doctors and patients, driven by patient satisfaction and successful outcomes. We're grateful for our outstanding team, and we give thanks for their hard work, expertise, and dedication. Thank you from Canyon Therapy on Cody's West Strip. Canyon Therapy, relief, recovery, results.
No balloons, no free food, no giveaways. Instead, Wyoming's largest RV dealership is offering what you really want, the best RV clearance sale in the Bighorn Basin area. All 2018 inventory at Midway RV is priced crazy low.
How low?
How about a luxury Montana fifth wheel, $20,000 below retail?
How low?
How about an SUV towable hideout under 12 grand?
How low?
How about the number one selling ultralight camper for no money down and no payments until 2019? Come save big at Midway RV during our 2018 no-nonsense sales event. MidwayCampers.com.
Hi, I'm Darren Dudrick, host of the award-winning talk show Speak Your Peace on KODI 1400 AM and 96.7 FM. Join me mornings 9 to 10, Monday through Friday, as I interview guests from around the city, county, state, and even the nation, and take your phone calls regarding a wide range of topics and issues that affect you. That's Speak Your Peace, weekday mornings 9 to 10, with rebroadcasts 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, only on KODI 1400 AM and 96.7 FM.
This is Fire Marshal Sam Wild inviting you to join Park County Fire District 2 and the Cody Volunteer Fire Department for an open house Saturday from 10 to 2. Learn how to keep your home safe from fire. Enjoy refreshments and rides on the old double off. And there'll be plenty of games for the kids. Volunteer firefighters will be on hand to answer questions about how you can become a volunteer. See you Saturday at the Cody Fire Hall, and remember, change the batteries in your smoke detectors when you change your clocks.
You can see it all around Wyoming, what John Barrasso is accomplishing for our state. John fought hard for the biggest tax cuts in a generation, and he delivered. Tax cuts that mean Wyoming families are keeping more of their hard-earned money. John made strengthening Wyoming's water infrastructure a top priority with legislation that will reduce the threat of devastating floods, increase critical water storage, and finish, fix, or replace the irrigation projects our farmers and ranchers use to feed America and the world. And when Congress stole mining royalties from the people of Wyoming, John led our delegation to take back the hundreds of millions of dollars we were owed, money that helps fund important Wyoming priorities and our communities. John Barrasso, real accomplishments for all of Wyoming.
I'm John Barrasso, and I approve this message.
paid for by friends of John Barrasso. BarrassoForWyoming.com.
We are back on Speak Your Peace. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Darren Dudrick. Today I'm visiting with James Klessens of Forward Cody. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 587-1400. Tomorrow on Speak Your Peace, I'll have two candidates for Park County School District Number 6 Board of Trustees, Brandy Nelson and Brennan Baglio. James, I wanted to talk about something that was in the news recently. Well, we did a story on it here at the Bighorn Radio Network regarding your Bring 'Em Home campaign. What is that? Is it underway? Is it in development? Or what can
it's
you tell us about?
It's going to be.
Okay.
I'm a little cautious about talking too much about it because my committee is still shaping it.
Sure.
And you won't recall this because Tom was in the chair at the time that I announced this the first time. We hatched this thing years ago called Bring 'Em Back Home, Families Create Lasting Jobs. And it's a repatriation program, which means we find people who have lived here, mm-hmm. grew up here, moved away, and we try to bring them back home. And I made that comment back in 2008, and I had a caller. And the caller said, I spent 20 years trying to get those kids out of my house. Why would I ever want them back? And the person unfortunately misunderstood that home as in home community, not into your house.
Yeah, in your basement.
Because one of the things, Darren, that we know is that when you bring a new element into your community, a new company with a whole bunch of new people, they all bring different perceptions about what a community is and what a community needs. And most people are, especially in this community, are very resistive to changes and different ways of thinking.
Well, that's true.
And so, yeah. And not that that's a bad thing, because I think one of the things that I admire about Cody is our ability to stay pretty static in terms of we are who we are, and we're not going to just morph to be the modern fad. You know, I hear people say, oh, Red Lodge is such a cool community. And I said, talk to somebody that's from there. And they don't feel that way at all because their town has been kind of hijacked. Jackson's the same way.
Yeah.
There's an element that has moved in, and it changed the community away from what it was. And so if you love what you got, you need to protect it. But that doesn't mean that change is a bad thing. It just means that you need to hold those things that you hold dear. And so one of the ways that you can mitigate that is by having conversations with the people who left here. The people that left, let's say 10, 15 years, graduated from high school, went off, got a degree, got into a company, and now that company's saying, we can't do business in California. We can't do business in New York or Minnesota or one of these hugely taxed, hugely regulated states. And so what ends up happening is you break into a conversation with those people who already know your community, are familiar with what it's about. They don't come with an expectation of what, you know, how it's going to be. They already know. They've been here. That's a little bit of a problem to a certain extent because, you know, Cody, Wyoming is not the same place it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Nor 20. Sure. It's changed dramatically. And I think in a positive way. Some people will disagree adamantly with that statement, but I think it's changed in a positive way. We have, I think, a workforce that's to be reckoned with. Now, you'll read in the newspaper that, oh, we don't have enough employees. You know, that may be true. I think we all have to watch what's happening as we migrate from the boomers, the Gen X, the Gen Ys into the millennials. We need to think about how that workforce is engaged in the program that you have. And the people that know how to engage workforce are hugely successful at getting and maintaining workforce. I see that. There's evidence of that throughout this community.
Makes a lot of sense, yeah.
So we've got to educate some people. And the sad news is, for guys like me, you know, I'm the boomer generation. I get up at 5 in the morning and I work till I can't work anymore, and I do it all over the next day. And I always figure that I can work harder rather than smarter, and I don't use the technology tools that are at my fingertips as much as I could because I'm just a little old-fashioned, and God, I hate to say that, but it's true.
Well, you admit it. That's a good thing.
But one of the things that I made a comment about not too long ago is if workforce is an issue, maybe we need to be thinking about training managers and not employees because we're not going to train millennials to be like we are. We have to learn to take advantage of the skill sets that they bring and make the most of those. Because I have also said that this next generation is going to be the most powerful generation we will witness in our lifetimes, because we'll be long gone, you know, when this generation is done, because of their ability to utilize technology to leverage themselves. And evidence of that is I did a little project yesterday working on a rail load facility, and I did more research in about 3 hours using the internet on what it takes to do this in 3 hours. It would have taken me 2 weeks, maybe a month, 10 years ago, because we have it at our fingertips. We can Google it. We can pull down pictures. We can pull down examples. I can go do amortization schedules just like that.
But don't you miss going to the library using the card catalog? And
yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Darren, I really miss that a lot. I don't even know if I'd remember how to do that anymore. But
you and me both.
I mean, somebody asked me the other day to teach a grant writing class, and I thought, well, great. But part of my grant writing class, the last time I did it, was taking this big, green, ugly book and digging through it to find out who gives grants and what. They don't even do that book anymore. It's all online. So I'd have to learn it myself to be able to teach it. So bring them back home is about repatriating the people that came from here. And here's where it's important. And it is that if you're 15 years out of school, you're probably, you know, 33 years old. You've got kids that are anywhere from 5 to 8 years old. And you're starting to see kids going into a school system. And, of course, people don't like to bring their kids into a system and then move them to another system. You kind of become stable and stationary when your kids get to school. And I can tell you, if I was taking my kids into Los Angeles to go to school right now, I would think, I wish that we had schools like I grew up in. I wish we had the Sunset, Eastside, Livingston elementary schools for my little guys to go to. And so what people start thinking about at that point in time is, man, if I could only go home and have my kids raised in the environment with the love and the caring that the teachers of this school system provide, that would be an amazing thing. So the question that we pose is, give it a thought. We'll have a conversation with you. So we've done a couple things. One is in process as we speak, where we're building a relocation guide to Cody that is way different than anything that we've ever had before. Used to have all the facts and figures and pretty pictures of animals and Yellowstone Park and all of that data. Well, we're not doing the data anymore. We're talking about why. Why are you doing business in Cody? And we talked to the three people that are our poster children for this, Larry and Susan Patrick, who could do a business anywhere on the planet, but they choose to do it here. Why, Larry? Why, Susan? Why are you here? And they've got a great story. Jesse Renforce, Cody Coffee. You know, his wife is the principal at Cody Laboratories. Now, that's the main reason they came here. But look at what he's been able to do himself. They've got a great why. Wes and Melissa Allen, downtown, Sunlight Sports. So you see, we have a manufacturing, we have a service, and we have a retail. That we've included all of those people and their why. Because that why becomes the progenitor for all the decisions that we make. And so if we can pull at the heartstrings of people who are wondering their why. Why am I in this big urban place and spend 2 hours in my car getting to work 20 miles away and the crime and the drugs and all of the issues that you have in these large metropolitan areas, when frankly, I've got as good of internet access in Cody, Wyoming as I do in Los Angeles. So wait a minute. If I could take my little company of 5 or 10 or 15 people and place it there, it's not only good for my employees, it's good for my company, lower cost of doing business. There's going to be some disadvantages. You know, there isn't a Neiman Marcus or a Gucci's around the corner. Get over that. I mean, that's one of the downfalls of living in the area. But you know what? It's not fatal. And so we're getting ready to kick off first this relocation guide. We've got a series of videos. We're talking with people about their why. And then we'll be doing some programs and campaigns, working with you in the radio about how we can get people to bring them back home, because families create lasting jobs.
And we will talk about that more next month.
Can't wait.
James, thanks for coming in. They appreciate it. Nice seeing you again.
I have a few things to talk about.
Okay, thanks,
James. Everybody have a good day.
All right, and that will do it for Speak Your Peace. Thanks for listening today. I'm Darren Dudrick. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.
This has been Speak Your Peace with Darren Dudrick on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM KODI Cody, and 1140 AM KZMQ Grable.